Okay, now we're beginning here, 13 lines down, on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the machlok between Rav and Shmuel that we saw yesterday. Yesterday we had a list of items where there was competition between two areas that had access to a third area. If the access is equal, that means equal whether it's equal and easy access or equal and difficult access, then they are both considered to have rights to go into that third area. And because of that, Shnehem Asurim, they're both Asurim until they make an Eruv between them. On the other hand, if one of the areas is easier access to this third area, and one of them has a more difficult access to that area, we grant the rights to the one who has easier access to that area, just because it makes sense. If they both have rights, they'll be Asurim. And if we give the rights solely to the party that has ease of access to there, then they will be able to utilize it on Shabbat, and it's really not a loss for the other party, because it wasn't easy for them to use anyway. So because of that, we grant the rights to the one who has easy access. The question that came up in yesterday's daf is where they both have difficulty of access to this area, but one has a more difficult time than the other. For instance, in a case where one accesses it through Zrika, and the other one accesses it through Shilshul. One of them accesses it by throwing upwards, and the other one through lowering down. Over there, Rob says, they're both difficult. Everybody agrees those are difficult ways to access the point. So therefore, if they're equally difficult, they both have rights there in Shnehem Asurim. On the other hand, Shmuel said that in that case, there are gradations of difficulty. It's more difficult to utilize an item, Bizrika, versus Shilshul. And therefore, when you have a competition between Zrika and Shilshul, yes, they're both difficult, but Shilshul is an easier difficulty than the more difficult Zrika. In that case, we're going to grant the right solely to the party can do it, Derech Shilshul. So what the Gemara now is doing is taking our Mishnah and questioning from our Mishnah the positions. So the first question was on Rav from our Mishnah, that it sounds like from our Mishnah that when you have Shilshul versus Zrika, that we grant the rights to the Derech Shilshul. Then we had Rav Huna, a Talmid of Rav, come and answer on behalf of Rav that that's not the case over here, because when we're talking about the people upstairs, we're not talking about the people in the Aliyah, but rather the people on the Mirpeset. And the people on the Mirpeset, or access from the Mirpeset, is a level. It means that it's within 10 tefachim of the item and not Derech Shilshul. So it's really a competition between Petach and Zrika, and that's why we grant it to the Mirpeset. It's not because it's Shilshul versus Zrika, and Shilshul trumps. Now we're going to bring the second question from Mishnah, which is Tznan. Chuliata bor v'hasela shein gvoim asara. If you have the bor, a pit or a cistern that's dug out, and the dirt that you dug out, you place around the rim of the bor, so now that it's 10 tefachim high. Or sela, bedrock, that rises 10 tefachim high. In that case, we grant it to the Mirpeset. Pachot migan l'chatzer. If it's less than 10 tefachim, we grant it to the chatzer. Here, we have a problem again for Rav. It seems like that the utilization of the items for the upper people, the people in the Aliyah, is derech shilshul. For the people in the chatzer, it's derech zrika. And we give precedence to the people in the Mirpeset. Sounds like Shmuel, that it's because they use the derech shilshul. They're going to reach out of their windows, and they're going to utilize whether it's the sela or the bor. And that's Derech Shilshul. The people in the Chatzer, it's above 10 Tvachim, they're going to do a Derech Zrika. And we grant the rights solely to the people on the Mirpeset. So that sounds like Shmuel. Rav Huna, here Rav Huna answers. In yesterday's discussion, we said, just like Rav Huna says, we're going to say it over here. Well, this is the place where just like Rav Huna says. This is the answer where Rav Huna originally gave this answer, which is, Rav Huna lotana darim Mirpeset. So that's for the people who live in the Mirpeset. The Mirpeset means that it's not coming from above, and they're drawing it or pulling it up from there. They're level with the 10 tefachim. The Mirpeset is 10 tefachim off the ground. This object is 10 tefachim or somewhere close to that. And therefore, they're considered to be level with the item. And the people in the chatzer are Zrika. So it's petach versus Zrika. It's ease of use versus difficulty of use. That's why we grant it over here. It's not because they both have difficult use, but it's just less difficult for the people upstairs. That's when you're thinking it's coming from the people in the Aliyah. They're doing it through their windows and they're lowering down. No, they're standing on the Mirpeset and they're able to access it. Now, the Gemara asks a question, which I kind of avoided yesterday, which is, Tinach Sela. That works well for bedrock, because bedrock used the top of the bedrock, and that's a level with the Mirpeset. Bor, Mayik of the Maimar. What are you going to say about a bor? The utilization of the bor is inside. Even if it's level with you, the way to utilize the bor is through the opening, and then you're going to draw from that area. So if that's the case, why would you say over here that it's a petach? It's not a petach. They're still going to use a derech shilshul. If that's the case, the Mirpeset is using a derech shilshul. The Chatzir would use a Derech Zrika, we're granting the rights to the Mirpeset, which sounds like Shmuel again. So Amar Yitzchak, Brei Rabbi Yehuda, Hacha Bebor Mleah Mayim Maskinan. Here we're doing with a pit or a cistern that is filled with water. By filling it with water, then the utilization of the pit or the bor is at the top. It's near the top. It's within a couple of tefachim of the Mirpeset. And that's why it's considered to be petach. It's a level with them. Versus the chatzir, we have to do that derech zrika. It says, v'chachasra, doesn't the water go down? As you draw the water out of the cistern, it's not a live spring. You're going to draw the water out, the water level is going to drop. And then it will go below the 10 tefachim level, or it will not be a petach anymore, and it will be derech shilshul. Where it says, kevin dechimalyo sharyo, since when it's filled with water, it's mutar, because then it's nearly level with the mir peset, kichasr nami sharyo. So too, when the level goes below that, we're going to say it's mutar. It started out mutar, it'll continue to be mutar. Where it says, adarabo, why not say the other way around, which is kevin dechasr asira, since if it goes below, let's say 10 tefachim, it's now become a sur, because the people in the merpeset use a derech shulshul, and the people in the chatzir use a derech zrika. According to Rav, that's a stalemate, and that means shnehem asurin. So if that case is going to be asur, kimayinami asira, even when it's filled with water, it should be asur, because it will reach the point where it won't be up at the top. And so because of that, we should leave it asur all the time. Why are you saying just because it could be mutar, we'll make it mutar all the time? Well, if it could be asur, let's make it asur all the time. That makes more sense. So Elam Rabaye, Hocha, Bibor, Mlea, Perotaskin. And here we're dealing with a pit that is full of fruits. If it's a pit full of fruits, then it raises the level of utilization to be level with the Mirpeset. Where it says, Vachachasre, the same problem you have by the water is that you're going to utilize the fruits inside of the boar, and then it's going to go down below the level where it's level with the Mirpeset. And if that's the case, you're back to Shulshul versus Rika, versus level, Petach versus Rika. So he says, Betivlo. We're talking about the perot that are tevel. Perot that are tevel are mukse on Shabbat, and therefore they're not going to get moved on Shabbat, and it's not going to go down. It's now level with the upstairs area, and that's why the rights of that area are granted to them. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with it. Maybe they'll put things over there, place things on there, but tevel perot are just as much a problem for them as they are for anybody else. Now, Tosafot points out over here that we had the Gemara before when we were dealing with the charitz, that we did with a ditch between two chatzerot. We said over there, if you put something in there, like dirt, and you intend to remove it, it doesn't ruin the mechitza. So it's over here. Just because you have perot in there, why should it ruin the fact that it's 10 deep? Because you intend to remove the fruit afterwards, even if they're tevel now. One possible answer is, like the Gemara said over there, that you can't ask from Shabbat to Tumah. But Shabbat then is different than Tumah. But Shabbat mukse makes it, you're not going to move it. Even if you intend to move it afterwards, we know for the whole Shabbat it's stuck here because of mukse. That's one answer. Rav Ashi gave a different answer, that there's a difference between a bayit and a chatzer. Now, based on that answer, Tosafot over here says that it'll still work over here. As opposed to there where you're trying to ruin the mechitza and take away a mechitza, that you have a higher threshold or a higher standard. And over there, simply being mukse is not enough. For the fact that you intend to remove it later, that ruins it. But over here, all you're trying to do is make it into a petach. Make it that it has easier use from the mirpeset versus the chatzer, that we have a lower standard or lower threshold. So mukse items will be enough, even if you intend to move them later, to make this into ease of use for those people on the merpeset. Where it says, dekanami, it makes sense that we're talking about a boar that is full, because iktani dumia de sela, because it compares it to the sela, to the bedrock in the Mishnah. Bedrock is something that you utilize at the top. So the boar should be the same way that you're utilizing it at the top. So it must be that it's filled in, that it's near the top or nearly filled into the top, so that the ease of use from the merpeset has to do with the fact that it's like a petach and not like it's shilshul. So therefore, we reject this proof towards Shmuel, because Rav could easily explain the Mishnah otherwise, as Rav Huna explains, that's talking about the people on the merpeset, and with the additional explanation of Abaye, that the boar is filled in with perot of tevel, so that it will not go down on Shabbat. So Shmamina, v'lamali l'mitne boar, v'lamali l'mitne sela. Well, now they've done such a good job making the boar look like the sela, why do I need both of them? Just tell me about one of them, and I would have known the din. Tzricha, we need both of them. Dish, Mein, and Sela. Had you only told me about bedrock, the lek of the migzar, there's no reason for it to change over Shabbat. There's no reason to make a gzera over here. It will be that level, and it'll always be that level. So for the Bnei Merpeset, it's a petach. For the Bnei Chatzer, it's zrika. That in competition means that the Bnei Merpeset get it. And that status quo will not change. On the other hand, of a boar, the boar here has to be unique. It has to be a boar that has chulya, that's 10 tefachim high. And on top of that, it has to be filled with something that is not taken out on Shabbat. It has to be perot tevel, other mukse, things that are not utilized on Shabbat. So ligzar, maybe there we should make a gzeira, zimdin demalya perot metukanim, because if it was filled with fruits that actually did have trumot demasrot, mufrashim from them, and they could be eaten on Shabbat, it would be a problem. We would not grant those rights to merpeset, because they eventually will take it down, and they will use it derech shulshul versus the zrika, the chatzer. According to Rav, that means shnei masurim. So I would have thought maybe I should be gozer in a case where it's perot tevel, I should be gozer because of perot metuganim. So the Mishnah tells us, no, that if it's perot tevel, it's good enough. Tzricha, that's why we need in the Mishnah to teach us that item, tashma. So here you can see that Rav can explain the Mishnah in this manner, so that it's not a question on him. And in addition to that, teach us this chiddush that if something's muksa inside the boar, it makes as if it is a petach, despite the fact that you might have thought to be gozer this, or to a boar that has perot metuganim. Tashma, we have another question now. Anshei chatzer, anshei aliyah, shechachu v'lo yirvu. Sounds like our Mishnah, but it's not our Mishnah. And that's why it starts out with tashma over here, because it's not quoting our Mishnah. Otherwise, it would have started with the word tznan. So it sounds like our Mishnah is the same case, where you have people that live upstairs, people that live downstairs, and they did not make an eruv together. They made eruvin independently, all the people upstairs together, all the people downstairs together. Then, anshei chatzer mishtamshim ba'asarat tachtonim. The people from the chatzer use the lower 10 tefachim. Anshei aliyah mishtamshim ba'asarat elyonim. And the people upstairs use the 10 tefachim that are up. Ketzad, please explain to me how this works. Ziza yotzei min hakotel, if you have these projections that come out of the wall, things that can be utilized to the people in the chatzer or by the people in the aliyah. L'mata mi'asarat, if it's below 10 tefachim. The way we're understanding this brayta right now is that when we say that asarat tachtonim, it means from the ground level, 10 tefachim up. Anything from ground level to 10 tefachim up on the wall belongs, we give sole usage and sole utility to the people of Bnei Chatzer because it's very easy for them to use. Since it's within 10 tefachim, it's really within their space. From the aliyah, it's much more difficult to use something like that. On the other hand, if it's l'ma'ala mi'atzara, it's above 10 tefachim, aliyah. Now over here, above 10 tefachim doesn't mean that it's above 10 from the base or the ground. This reference point is not, say, ground level, up to 10 belongs to the chatzer, and then above 10 belongs to the aliyah. The reference point here are the people themselves. So the bnei chatzer are found in the chatzer. So the reference of below 10 is from the ground up to 10 tefachim they utilize. For the bnei aliyah, how they utilize things is through their window, through their doors. So from there, it has to be 10 tefachim away. That means that anything that's within 10 tefachim, say, of their window, if you have this projection out of the wall and it's within 10 tefachim of the window, we grant them rights to that. That's what it means, 10 tefachim in the malo. So say, for instance, you have a very tall house, you have a house that's 30 tefachim high. So now the people on the chatzer can use up to 10 tefachim. The people on the aliyah can use 10 tefachim downward. But now there's a space between the two of them that is more than 10 tefachim off the ground and more than 10 tefachim away from the people of the aliyah. What's the status of that space in between? And that's what the Gemara is medayik from this braita, had the beni beni asur. That which is found in between them is asur. Now, how is that utilized? For the things that are above 10 tefachim, the bnei chatzer, they use up to 10. Above 10 for them is derech zrika. For the people upstairs in the aliyah, up to 10 tefachim down from them, they get to utilize. It's all theirs. More than 10 tefachim, they do a derech shulshul by pulling it up and down. Well, this is a case where you have shulshul for the bnei aliyah, you have zrika for the bnei chatzer, and yet we say asur. We say that they're both asurim. That sounds like Rav. This is a question on Shmuel. Now before we saw that the questions from the Mishnah were on Rav, and they were answered by a Talmud of Rav Rav Huna. Over here we have a question on Shmuel, and they will be answered by a Talmud of Shmuel Rav Nachman, which is Amar Rav Nachman, Hocha Begoto Tisha Saraskinon. You got the case wrong. The case here is where the height of the house in totality is 19 tefachim, or the wall size is 19 tefachim. That way, when you measure from 10 tefachim on the ground up, that reaches to 10 tefachim high. If you measure from the aliyah, 10 tefachim down, they meet. And there is no beni beni. There is no in-between space. So there is no case of beni beni. Once you've done that, you've eliminated the question on Shmuel. The whole question on Shmuel derives from the diuk we make out of that braita. We make a diuk out of the braita that up to 10 is the chatzer. From the aliyah down belongs to the aliyah, but that means something in between would be asur. What Rav Nachman says is the case here is there is no in-between. Talking about 19 tefachim, so up to 10 tefachim belongs to Bnei Chatzer. From the Bnei Aliyah down, they get the 10 tefachim. Any area that they overlap will be Shnehem Asurim. Any area that's overlap will be Shnehem Asurim, because then it's not a competition between Shoshul and Zrika, because they both have ease of access to there. So here we're not talking about a competition between Zrika and Shoshul, because everything that the Bnei Aliyah can reach downwards to, and then when they overlap with the Bnei Chatzer, it's done through normal movement, not Shoshul, and the Bnei Chatzer also utilize it through normal interaction, not through Zrika. So then we don't have a case that's a question on Shmuel, because we've eliminated this Beni Beni. We've eliminated that middle section that is too far away from the Aliyah, more than 10 Tefachim Aliyah, and more than 10 Tefachim above the Chatzer. Because it's only 19 tefachim. Once you've done that, you've eliminated the question on Shmuel. So that's the case where it's a kotel, tisha asar zginen, ziz yotzei mimenu lamata mi'asara. If you have projections that are below 10 tefachim, lezeh, bepetach lezeh bishul shul. For the people upstairs, they have to draw it up with a string. For the people in the chatzer, it's easy access, so it belongs to the people in the chatzer. The malam mi'asara, if it's above 10 tefachim, again, here the reference point could be the ground, then it's lezeh bepetach. For the people in the aliyah, it's easy access, because it's within 10 tefachim of their window. For the people down below, they have to do it by throwing. Again, the area that overlaps in that area, it would be ease of access, because anything that's within 10 tefachim of the two areas is used as a petach, and that'll be a petach versus a petach, which is asurim. Tashma, we have another case. Shtei guz derot. This is actually a Mishnah coming up. This is not an exact quote of the Mishnah, and that's why the word tanan is not used here again. But it refers to something that we're going to see upcoming in the Gemara, which we're going to spend a lot of time on. And that is, you have shtei guz derot, which Rashi describes as being basically balconies. You have these projections that come out of the wall, and then you place nisarim, you place boards on top of them. So they create a platform that's either outside a door or a window of the house. In this instance, and it was true in their day, it was used to draw water from the water body below. They needed water, and the way they got water was either from a cistern, a well, or the river. So a lot of people lived right by the river, and they used to draw the water out of the river to utilize in their house. Now, that caused major issues. The Gemara mentioned some of these issues, but not totally. And it caused a tremendous amount of sickness till they really figured this out, and it took many, many years. More than 1,000 years after the time of the Gemara that they figured this out, which is that everybody's utilizing the river. They're using the river both for their garbage, for relieving themselves, and as their drinking water. And you can see what the obvious problem is, that the drinking water is being contaminated by what they're putting in the water. Especially for those people downriver. People downriver are getting the garbage and the excrement of the people upriver, and they're drawing that water. And that caused major disease and problems for many years until they figured out that they can't do that. They can't utilize it for both. But at least here, what's happening is the houses are over the water, and they have these gezurot throughout these balconies from which they draw the water. There is a kula, we discussed it much earlier in the Masechta, which is, how sheigilu chachamim b'mayim, that chachamim gave a dispensation with regards to water to allow the people to draw water on Shabbat. That dispensation is that you can use a mechitza tluya. You can use a mechitza that's suspended in the air. So the only way to draw water from the water body below is through one of these mechitzot. That is because the area, the balcony, is a reshut yachid. We're assuming here that it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground and more than 4 tefachim wide and long. So that makes it into reshut yachid. If it's less than that, it's a makom patur, then there's really nothing to discuss over here because makom patur has a totally different din. So the assumption is we're dealing with the reshut yachid here. Then you have the water down below, which has a din of a carmelite. The Chachamim said that a yam and a nahar have a din of a carmelite. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to draw from a carmelite to a reshut yachid. So how do you solve that problem? So the Chachamim instituted that you put up a mechitza. Either you put a mechitza below the balcony, a suspended mechitza. You have a hole in the balcony. You put a mechitza around it that's 10 tefachim long and 4x4 tefachim wide, and you can draw water through that. We look at it as if that mechitza goes all the way down to the water and into the water. It's as if you're drawing from Rishut Yachid into Rishut Yachid. Again, the whole problem is an institution to Rabbanan, and Rabbanan made a heker by way that you can get over this problem, or a dispensation that you can get over this problem. Obviously, being aware of the difficulty, if you can't draw water on Shabbat, that would be very difficult. The other way to do it is have the mechitza stand upright. You have them above the hole that you draw the water from, but as long as they're 10 tefachim high by 4x4, you're allowed to draw from the water on Shabbat. So in this instance, we have the two of these balconies that are sitting over the water. They draw their water from those balconies. These balconies are not one on top of the other, directly on top of each other, but rather they are skewed to the side. The equivalent of what they call today in Israel is sukkah mirpeset. And mirpeset, that is not covered above because you can put a sukkah there. So they are offset from each other, but one is higher than the other. Now, they wanted to draw water on Shabbat, so they got together, and they built a mechitza around the upper one. Not the lower one, just the upper one. So during the week, they draw water through their own mirpeset. On Shabbat, they both have to draw water from the upper platform, because that's the one that has a mechitza. Has a mechitza, and it has a hole to draw from. So both the tachtona and the elyona draw from the elyona on Shabbat. Here, the Brachos says, shtehen asurot ad shiarvu. If they don't make an eruv between them, they're both restricted from utilizing that balcony, the upper balcony, to draw water on Shabbat. So that's a question on Shmuel. It's a problem for Shmuel, because how does the person on the upper balcony utilize that platform or that balcony? They draw the water. They drop their bucket down. They pull the water up. That's called derech shul shul. For the people on the lower platform or the lower balcony, They have want to utilize the upper balcony to draw their water on Shabbat. How do they do that? They have been zorek. They have to throw their bucket up to that balcony and have it then go down into the water. That's derech zrika. They also happen to do shilshul as well. It goes down. But they have zrika and shilshul. And the upper balcony has just shilshul. You have a competition like that, it's clear that the one who has just shilshul, just drawing, is an easier situation. If that's the case, they should be granted the sole rights to it. The upper balcony should be able to use it alone, and the lower balcony should be cut out from this. That's Shmuel's principle. If you have zrika versus shilshul, we give it to the shilshul side. For Rav, this isn't a problem. Shtei Nasarot, it's exactly what Rav says. Doesn't matter if it's zrika and shilshul, they're both difficult. They are a stalemate, and it's Shtei Nasarot. But for Shmuel, this is a problem. So we have two answers. The first answer is, the case is here, as Rashi describes it, there's actually a staircase or a ladder between the lower balcony and the upper balcony. It's not that the people on the lower balcony throw their bucket over to the upper balcony and draw the water, so it's derech zrika. They actually walk up the ladder and then draw just like the upper balcony draws. So because of that, they utilize the upper balcony in the same way. If that's the case, then you're at a stalemate. And even Shmuel agrees there that Shem Asurot, because they have the same access or ease or difficulty of access there. And we don't count the fact that you have to climb the stairs or go up the ladder as being extra difficulty. That's just the connection between them. That's the way you get from one to other. That's a petach. That's going through a doorway. So that's not difficult. And therefore, now we have that stalemate. And even Shmuel will agree that they're both derech shilshul. And since they both have the same difficulty, they are Asurot. Baya gives a different answer. Baya Amar can go into Gaimim B'toch Asurat Da'adodi. They're within 10 tefachim of each other. The two mirpesot are not 10 tefachim above or below each other. They're also, as Rashi says, 4 tefachim from side to side, within a proximity of 4 tefachim, but they're not more than 10 tefachim above or below each other. Now, if they were more than 10 tefachim away from each other, Shmuel would agree that it belongs to the upper and not the lower, because then the upper one utilizes it through shilshul, and the lower balcony loses it through Zrika and Shilshul. But over here, since they're within 10 tefachim of each other, they are no longer considered to be distinct areas. They're considered to be as if one. And since they're considered to be as if one, Zrika and Shilshul are no longer influential in deciding who it belongs to. It simply belongs to both of them. And it doesn't matter how you access or what you do, because they're so close together. As Rashi points out here, Kevan to Begul Asara Da'adodi Kaimin, since they're within 10 tefachim of each other, Ein v'shut shlishit l'zu below zu. They cannot have independent ownership of a third area. Even if one of them has easy access, like a petach, and the other one has access through zrika, they still both have equal rights to this area because they're not far enough apart to give them distinctive ownership. And all those cases we said before in the Gemara where we're deciding which party to give the area to or who gets the rights to it, as Rashi points out, that those are all cases where, in cases where you have two properties that are adjacent to a third area, and we want to grant the rights to one of them, if one of them has ease of access, one has difficulty, we say we grant it to the one who has ease of access, all of those cases, all of those places are either more than 10 tefachim away from each other, or they have a mechitza between them. So for instance, the wall that sits between two chatzerot, there is a defined halachic division between them. And now we're asking about the top of the wall. What's the status of that? Over here, since the balconies are so close together, they're within mute of each other, they're no longer going to be distinct, and we don't even consider the issue of who has easy, who has difficult. It's as if they're one, and they're shneim asurot until they make an eruv between them. And as the Gemara explains here, v'lo mibayi kamar. This is not according to Rav, but according to Shmuel. According to Rav, it makes sense. The whole brayta makes sense. Because even if it's a competition between Shilshul and Zrika, he says Shtei Masurot. But the way that we're explaining it according to Abayi now, that they're both within 10 tefachim of each other, it's coming to teach us this din. Lo mi bayi asulatach tona, that they put the mechitza to draw the water out on Shabbat on the lower balcony, below asul el yonah, they didn't make it for the upper one, da siri, that they're both asur, because they both use it derech Shilshul now. They both lower their buckets, there for sure it's asurot, even independent of the fact that they're within 10 tefachim of each other. Even if they were more than 10 tefachim away from each other, they would be asurot, because they both utilize it the same way. The cavemen to go, yud, hadadi, kaimin, asur, hadadi. But over here, we don't even care about that. We don't even consider that, because they're within 10 tefachim each other. Ela, afilu, asada, yonah. But even in a case, and that's the case that's quoted here, that even when they made the mechitza for the upper balcony to draw the water out of it, velo asur the tachtono, and they did not make it for the lower one. So then you would have thought, salka, dat, chamino, kaimin, lezeb, and achab, lezeb, kasheh. For one of them, it's easy. The upper balcony just drops their bucket down. It's easy. for the lower balcony have to throw their bucket and get in the hole and draw the water. That's big kasher. Later, we should grant the sole rights to this, to the upper balcony. Kamash Malan, we don't do that because, given to Asrinadodi, since we were then 10 tefachim of each other, we say that that consideration becomes irrelevant, and they're considered to be one entity, and we cannot separate rights between them because they're too close together. They're really not considered separate rishiyot anymore. So the Gemara now says, Kihad Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. This is similar to something that Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel said. And again, Rav Nachman and Amar Shmuel, this is the way we just explained it for Shmuel, in order to take away the question on him from this Braita. And now we have support for this position, how we explain the position according to Abaye, from something else that Shmuel said and his Talmud Rav Nachman said. That's Gag and Samoch the Rishut Rabim. You have a roof that is near the Rishut Rabim. This is a complicated case. We'll first explain it according to Rashi, and then we'll look into Tosafot and see how he explains it. For those of you that have the pictures of Mivu'ar, there's a picture of this there which seems to be incorrect, because Rashi over here says that the Gag here is surrounded by a chatzer on three sides. The way they draw the picture, there's a house on, or the aliyah is on one side of it, so it doesn't sound or doesn't seem right the way they're explaining according to Rashi. But rather, you have something that's a roof of a house. The roof is surrounded on three sides by a chatzer, and on the fourth side, it's adjacent to the Rishut HaRabim. Now, in addition to that, you also have the Bnei HaChatzer. Bnei HaChatzer live all the way downstairs. They have their courtyard. For them, the roof is more than 10 tefachim away. It's more than 10 tefachim away from them, and that is considered to be a separate Rishut and out of their area. But there's also, according to Rashi, a Mirpeset. There is a balcony that goes around the middle of this house. Now that Mirpeset is utilized by the Bnei Aliyah. The Bnei Aliyah use that to access the roof. They go on from this Mirpeset onto the roof, and there's a balcony around. As Rashi says, it's a balcony that has walls around it, that has something around it to make it into a Rishut HaYachid, and it opens, the Mirpeset opens into the Rishut HaRabim. So now again, you have a house that is more than 10 tefachim high. When you're standing down below in the Chatzer, you look up, the house is 10 tefachim high, the roof is 10 tefachim high. When you stand in the Rishut HaRabim is higher up. It's built up against the bedrock, this house. And if you go to places like Har Nof, where you can enter on one side of the apartment building on the fifth floor, on the other side you have the base, similar to that, it's just not as high as those buildings there. You have in other places like New Rochelle, where their house is right next to below the road. The house is adjacent to the bedrock, and now, from the road or from the Rishut HaRabim, you are almost level with the Mirpeset. The Mirpeset is less than 10 tefachim away from the Rishut HaRabim, and there's actually an opening in the Mirpeset to get in and out of the Rishut HaRabim. Then, from the Mirpeset up to the roof is also less than 10 tefachim. So, first of all, for the Bnei Mirpeset, they have easy utility and usage of the roof. They're less than 10 tefachim away from it, and that should say that they have a derech petach. Now, for the Bnei Rishut HaRabim, they don't have necessarily easy access to the roof or to utilizing the roof. For them, it's more than 10 tefachim away. And yet, we're going to see in this case, Gag HaSamuch Rishut HaRabim, Tzarich Sulam Kavua. You need a fixed ladder there, Lahat Tiro, in order to make it mutar. Sulam Kavua in. Only if you have a permanent ladder there or a staircase there, does it work? Sulam Arai Lo. But if it's a temporary ladder, not. My Taimo. What's the reason? La Mishum Dekevim Betoch Asrad Adodi Kaime Asun Adodi. Since they were within 10 tefachim of each other, they cannot create distinct rights or ownership. So again, as we're explaining this according to Rashi, what you need to do now is the people in the Aliyah, the people in the upstairs of the house, have to put up a ladder that takes them onto the roof, directly onto the roof, to show that they're exercising their rights. By putting the ladder there, they're exercising their rights and saying that we solely want the utilization of the roof. By doing that, they block out the people of the Rishut HaRabim. But in a case when they don't put the ladder there, then it's asur. Why is it asur? For the people in the Aliyah, they walk onto the Mirpeset, and they climb onto the roof. They go onto the roof, it's less than 10 tefachim away. It's very easy to use. That's a petach. For the Bnei Rishut HaRabim, it's more than 10 tefachim away. So why should the Bnei Rishut HaRabim have any influence on the roof or the utilization of the roof? They're further away. The answer is, and this is what we're trying to prove, is that because the Mirpeset and the Rishut HaRabim are less than 10 tefachim away from each other. As we explained before, that the Mirpeset is within 10 tefachim of the Rishut HaRabim, that makes them into one entity. That's what Abaye just told us before, that if you're within 10 tefachim of each other, you cannot have distinguishable rights. So because of that, the Bnei Mirpeset or the Bnei Aliyah cannot use the roof because they don't have distinguishable rights from the Bnei Rishut HaRabim. They're within 10 tefachim of them, and even though it's easier for the B'nai Merpeset to utilize the roof than the B'nai Rishut Rabim, because their two areas are within 10 tefachim of each other, they're considered to be one and inseparable in terms of their rights. Because that becomes Asura. The only way to get around that is to have a ladder from the Aliyah, from the upper houses to the roof, where they demonstrate ownership rights that are separate, not through the Merpeset, from the Aliyah itself, upstairs. And because of that, they separate. That area, the Aliyah, is separate from the Rishut Rabim. And because of that, now they have a separate area, and they can establish separate rights from the Rishut Rabim. So based on that, they want to prove Abaye's point. You see here that the Merpeset and the Rishut Rabim were in 10 tefachim of each other, and yet we say they are asurim, independent or irrespective of the fact that one has easier access than the other. It's enough to be within 10 tefachim each other, and that negates any other consideration. Similar to what we just said before in the case of the Shtei Gezusterot, the two balconies. When they're in within 10 tefachim of each other, we don't consider the fact that one of them uses it derech shushul and one zrika. It's no longer relevant. So to over here, from the Merpeset, even though it's easy for them to access the roof, they're less than 10 tefachim away. If they may Rishut Rabim, they're further away. Nevertheless, we consider them to be equal because the Merpeset and the Rishut Rabim are within 10 tefachim of each other and they have a doorway between them. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. And then the answer is, Mat Givlav Papa, how do you know that's a proof? V'dilma kishrabim mekatfim alav bekumta v'sudra. How do you know it is easier for the Merpeset than it is for the B'nai Rishut Rabim? You're right, in terms of the B'nai Rishut Rabim, something that is that high up, in general, is not easy to utilize. It's not something that is easy for them to use. We had a similar idea in the Gemara in Shabbat, with regards to something that's 9 tefachim high in the Rishut Rabim. Something that's 9 tefachim high in the Rishut Rabim, we say, Rabim mekatfim alav. People use that to change their loads, to rest, or to readjust their loads. And therefore it becomes a part of the Rishut Rabim. Even though generally the Rishut Rabim is considered to be Rishut Rabim and anything within three tefachim is Rishut Rabim. But above that it becomes a makom tur. If it's protruding upwards, there's one exception that is 9 tefachim high. Because that's an area that's used easily by the people of Rishut Rabim and utilized to change their loads. Something that's much higher is not something that's utilized by the Rishut Rabim. And that's why we say that they have more difficult usage than the Merpeset. But Rav Papa is suggesting over here that's not the case. The B'nai Rishut Rabim actually have something that is easy for them to use, and that's to put their hats and their cloaks. Kumta, the modern word day for kumta, is a beret. I mean, their day means a hat, and a sudra, which is the modern day for an apron or a cape, a shawl. That's the modern day word. Their sudra meant a turban or some outerwear. So people, when they were hot, Rashi says they used to take them off and put them up there to air them out, to cool them off, so that when they put them back on, they would feel cooler, but probably to cool themselves off as well. So they're going to put their hats and their coats up there, and they're going to rest them on top of the roof, even though it's not so close by. Because these are light items, it's easy to use it, even though it's higher than the normal area that would you utilize. And by doing that, now even if it's above 10 tefachim, away from them, what Rav Papa is suggesting is that the people in the Merpeset and the people in the Rishut Rabim have equal usage of that area, equally easy usage. B'nai Merpeset, because they're less than 10 tefachim away. The B'nai Rishut Rabim, even though they're more than 10 tefachim away, they have ease of use because they're just throwing light things up there, which is perfect, the height that they have. And therefore now they both have ease of use. It's like the petach lezeh. When they have that, then we say it's a stalemate and shtei asurot. So I don't know if you have a proof from this because they have equal usage or utility over here. Now let's understand this a little bit better. This is different than other places where, like the shtei gezusterot, where they both have equal rights to go there. And then the question is, who do we grant those rights to, or who exerts their rights? Over here, it's clear that the B'nai Chatzer, or the B'nai Aliyah, have more rights to the Gag than the B'nai Rishut Rabim. B'nai Rishut Rabim are really using it only through an easement. The B'nai Aliyah and the B'nai Chatzer are utilizing it because it's theirs. So here, if they exert their rights, and if they show that they're utilizing it, the B'nai Rishut Rabim are gone. It's not like a competition. But if we have here a case where the B'nai Rishut Rabim can use it just as well or easily as the other people, then we say, wait a minute, now you have a competition between them. If you have a competition between them, it becomes a sore for both of them. Case where you put up a ladder and you show that you're going to go up there and you demonstrate your rights, B'nai Rishut Rabim are gone. Even if they want to put their cloaks and hats there, it doesn't matter because you have the first right of refusal to use those rights. So again, here it's only in a case where they're both utilizing it in a way that is not showing or demonstrating independent rights. But in a case where the B'nai Chatzer or the B'nai Aliyah demonstrate their rights to it, then the B'nai Rishut Rabim are gone. So Rav Papa in the end says, because of the case that they can both utilize it with a similar ease, that's what's going to Isur over here, not the fact that they're within 10 tefachim each other, like we wanted to suggest as a proof for Abaye. And as Rashi points over here, Velo dami drushut sheben bet chatzirot. It's not similar to a space between two courtyards. Lusuba petach lusuba zrika. One of them is using it through a doorway and one by throwing. The chatzir lav tashmishtei behani govim kalim. The chatzir does not utilize the roof for hanging their coats up and for their hats up. Elba kalim kvedim. They use it for heavy duty items. When it's more than 10 tefachim above the chatzir, it's not their primary utility. The only reason that the Bnei Chatzir get any rights here is because it's difficult for the Bnei Chatzir to utilize the roof. In the Chatzir, you use heavy equipment, you put your pots, your pans, they bake, they cook there, and it's more than 10 tefachim away from them, so people are not going to use it for those things. Kova and the Sudra, Bnei Chatzir don't utilize things outside. They put it into their house. So now the Bnei Rishut Rabim have a way to utilize it or use it where it's easy for them and it makes sense for them to use it. They don't have coat hooks or hat hooks in the Rishut Rabim. This is the place they can put their stuff down. So since it's easy for them to utilize, we grant them those rights. And we don't say, oh, now the Bnei Chatzir have equal rights over there. Bnei Chatzir don't utilize the roof. They don't have any reason to utilize it in the same manner that the Bnei Rishut Rabim do and knock them out. So now, because it's easy for the Bnei Rishut Rabim and difficult for the Bnei Chatzir, we're going to say, well, grant it to the Bnei Rishut Rabim to utilize. But in this case, there's uneven ownership. It's really owned by the Bnei Chatzir, and that makes it Asrei Adadi. That's why they ruin it for each other. But in a case where the Bnei Chatzir, the Bnei Aliyah, can use it easily, and for what they normally use it, they would push the Bnei Rishut Rabim out of there. As opposed to a normal case, we have a third area between two Chatzirot, they both have equal rights to that area. And therefore, if we find one has easier access, the other one has difficult access, we're going to grant it the easier access, and we're not going to think about the people with the more difficult access at all. Because here, they're both exerting equal rights on the property. Now, Tosafot takes issue with Rashi's explanation for a very obvious reason, which is the word mirpeset never appears here. Rashi builds his whole case around the fact that there's a mirpeset here that's within 10 tefachim of the Rishut Rabim. The word mirpeset never appears in the whole case. So where did Rashi come up with this mirpeset? For that reason, Tosafot, the Ri and the Rabbeinu Tam give alternative explanations of how to explain this Gemara. And he says that the case here is a case, again, similar to what Rashi started out with, which is you have a chatzer on three sides. The roof is more than 10 tefachim above them, or in the case where it's less than 10 tefachim, it has a wall around it, a makeh around it, has a fence around it, that makes it into a reshut ha-yachid. So it's either 10 tefachim high, or it has a wall around that's 10 tefachim. But it has an opening to the reshut ha-rabim that's less than 10 tefachim away from the reshut ha-rabim. So it's clear here that if the Bnei Chatzir would use it, it would be theirs. The problem now is that the Bnei Chatzir are not going to utilize it because it's above 10 tefachim. The Bnei Rishut HaRabim are going to utilize it because they have a doorway there, and they are within 10 tefachim of it. Now, once they do that, we have a problem, because once the Bnei Rishut HaRabim use it, and it's easy for them to use, they change the dynamic of the roof. Until now, the roof was considered to be, quote-unquote, a Rishut HaYachid. It was considered to be an area that was in the private domain. As soon as the Bnei Rishut HaRabim gain rights to use it, it becomes a karpaf. It becomes like a backyard, an open area where Chazal would go there on it like a Carmelite. And that's because the Lekabo Diurim. Nobody lives there. So for instance, if you had a case by a chatzer that opens up into the Shut Rabim, nobody would say there that the chatzer is not mutar for the Bnei Chatzer to carry around in it because it has an opening to the Shut Rabim. There it's because the people live in the area, and when they exercise their rights to live there, the Bnei Shut Rabim are out. They're excluded. But over here by the roof, the people in the chatzer don't live on the roof. They don't have easy access to the roof. And so because of that, it's as if it's taken out of their realm. And since it's easy for the Bnei Rishut HaRabim, then it becomes almost like theirs. Now, if it becomes theirs, it turns into a karpaf now, because now it's an area that's surrounded and open, but has nobody living in there. If there's nobody living in there, the exercising of the rights of Bnei Rishut HaRabim to go there makes it into a karpaf, or Carmelite. And from a Carmelite, you can't carry into Rishut HaRabim, and you can't carry into the Rishut HaYachid. So that's how the Ri sets up the case over here, with the roof being within 10 tefachim of the Rishut HaRabim. Now, if they put a sulam, where the Bnei Chatzir exercise, or Bnei Aliyah exercise their rights to use the roof, then it becomes like a Makom Diurim, and then they retain the rights, and that's why it's Mutar over there. But what you see is, without a Sulam, it becomes a Sur, because the two properties are within 10 Tefachim of each other. The Rishut HaRabim is within 10 Tefachim of the roof, and it has influence on it. So over here, when the two balconies are within 10 Tefachim of each other, they have influence on each other. And therefore, the Bnei Tachtonah, even though they're using it in a way that's not the simple way, nevertheless, they have influence on it. The answer of the Gemara is that it's not the same because you have Kumta and Sudra over here. That means that even though it's more than 10 tefachim away from them, you could still utilize it because they're putting their light stuff, their cloaks and their hats on it. And even when it's more than 10 tefachim away, it's problematic because they have easy way of using it. much easier than the Bnei Chatzer, and that's why they happen to make it into a karpaf or exercise their rights over there. And that's why it becomes a surah, but nothing to do with the fact that they were within 10 tefachim of each other. Rabbeinu Tam gives a slightly different explanation and says it's here where the roof is more than 10 tefachim away from the chatzer, but within 10 tefachim of the Reshut Rabbim. And it's really a Reshut Yachid, but it becomes a karmelit, because in reference to the Reshut Rabbim, it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, but 4x4, and that makes it into a karmelit. So a karmelit is a surah. Now, if the Bnei Chatzer or the Bnei Aliyah put a ladder in, and then they take away or they reduce this issue of karmelit, they now turn it back into being a Reshut Yachid. Even though normally you can't do that to a karmelit, this is an unusual karmelit. Because in reference to the people of Bnei Chatzer, Bnei Aliyah, it really is 10 tefachim high. It's only the Gabay, the Reshut Rabim, that it's within 10 tefachim, and that makes it into a karmelit. So because it's within 10 tefachim, the Reshut Rabim, if the Bnei Chatzer or the Bnei Aliyah don't demonstrate that it's a Reshut Yachid, it remains a karmelit because of the influence of the Reshut Rabim, within 10 tefachim of the Reshut Rabim. Once they put up a sulam, they demonstrate that it's clearly a Reshut Yachid because they're accessing it from the side that's 10 tefachim high. And because of that, it becomes a full-fledged Reshut Yachid and wipes out the shame karmelit from it. And he's medayik from that even though when you put in a ladder, sulam arai, it's still easier for the Bnei Chatzer to use it than the Bnei Reshut Rabim. Nevertheless, we still give it or consider it as a karmelit. So you see, even when you have easier access, it makes no difference when you're within 10 tefachim. Reshut Rabim within 10 tefachim of the roof. And so similar over here in our case, by the balconies, since they are 4x4 tefachim, the answer is kumta v'sudra, because they are now of equal. The temporary ladder and the Bnei Reshut Rabim both have easy access. The Bnei Reshut Rabim use it for putting their cloaks and their hats on, and the Bnei Chatzer can put up a ladder temporarily, but that's equal type of usage. If it's a permanent ladder, then they have usage that really trumps. Everything makes it into Reshut Yachid. But if their utility or their access is equal, like the way the Rapapa is explaining it, then it remains a karmelit, because their ease of use with a temporary ladder versus Kumta and Sudra is on the same level, and we don't grant the rights to one party or the other. Okay, we'll stop over here.